Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
You're listening to Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio 101.3 and live online. We're at kpcg.fm. And we have a live link at thetrumpet.com as well. Paying attention to the headlines, you notice that there's lots of talk about peace. And that's true of really any time during the last several decades, certainly. Middle East peace, now talking about North Korea, Iran is heavily involved. Always peace and peace, and yet we don't see a lot of peace on this earth, not lasting peace. So what will finally bring lasting peace to this earth, and will you finally be able to see world peace in your lifetime? Well, the Bible gives the answers to these questions. Today, let's look at God's plan for bringing lasting peace to this earth. And we're going to look at several Bible passages. And so if you have a Bible and you'd like to look up these passages as we go through them, that's a great idea. And if not, please take note of them and look them up later. See what God says about the issue of peace, lasting peace on this earth. Now, the first thing to understand is that God always reveals what He is going to do before He does it. We don't have to be surprised. We don't have to wonder about, will there be peace? Will there not be peace? God gives us the answers to these questions, and He does it in the Bible. Notice Amos 3 and verse 7, and we'll see a passage here that gives us that exact statement. Amos 3 and verse 7 says, "Surely the eternal God will do nothing, but He reveals His secret unto His servants, the prophets." So God's going to let His servants, the prophets, know about what His plans are. And we don't have to guess and we don't have to wonder about the future because God reveals what will happen. But He does it through His prophets and His apostles. This is how we can confidently proclaim how God will bring world peace to this earth. So we don't have to guess when we're talking about this topic on this program. We don't have to guess about it. We know what's going to happen because God has revealed it through His Bible to His prophets and His apostles. God has revealed His plans. And notice what God revealed to the prophet Isaiah about God's soon coming kingdom, which is His family government. And we'll notice this in Isaiah 2. Isaiah 2, starting in verse 1, and we'll read down through verse 3. "The word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Eternal's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it." Now, a mountain often symbolizes government in the Bible. So God's government here is pictured as ruling the entire world. "And many people," it says in verse 3, "shall go and say, Come you, and let us go up to the mountain of the Eternal, and to the house of the God of Jacob. And He will teach us of His ways, and we will walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Eternal from Jerusalem." So this is going to be an amazing time. Now this is after the second coming of Jesus Christ. People from all over the world will go to God's family government to learn God's way, so they can walk in God's paths. But why wait until then? I mean, if you're listening to this program, you can begin to learn about God's laws and start to walk in His paths if you haven't done so already. Now, most people don't respond to God, and they won't until after Christ returns, but some do respond today. God said He would establish His church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. And so He does have a work and He does have a church and a group of people that do learn about His ways and walk in those ways, and then help support a message that teaches that same truth. But for most people, They won't come to seek God's truth until after Christ's return. But after Christ's return, God's kingdom will be a literal kingdom on this earth. Just like any kingdom you would see today. This isn't something set up in men's hearts, as people sometimes would talk about. This is a literal kingdom. And notice this in Daniel 2. Daniel 2 gives this great vision of an image. And that image shows the progression of empires on this earth. Daniel 2 in verse 44, it goes through a succession of four world-ruling empires leading up to this passage. These empires are the Chaldean Empire that was under Nebuchadnezzar, then the Persian Empire from about 558 to 330 BC, the Greco-Macedonian Empire ruled by Alexander the Great from 334 to 330, and then finally the Roman Empire, and that reigned for about 500 years. And of course, there are resurrections or revivals of that Roman Empire all the way up to the final empire of man right when Christ returns. But notice then the fifth and most important kingdom in this passage, verse 44 of Daniel 2. And in the days of these kings, this final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire, the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. So God is going to bring his literal kingdom to this earth and is going to get rid of all the other kingdoms, the kingdoms of man, all the ways of man over the years that have talked a lot about peace but brought nothing but war. That's going to be stopped, and it's going to be stopped by the kingdom of God. God's government is going to bring lasting peace. You can notice that in Isaiah 2. Isaiah 2 in verse 4 says this, "And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more." So today, man learns war. But they're not going to learn war anymore after Christ returns. This is a very famous passage. This is a very famous statue that's been made of a man beating a sword into a plowshare. That's used in many places. You've probably seen pictures of that. And so this is a time that people are looking forward to, but in a lot of cases, they don't look forward to it in a literal sense. They think it's some sort of, you know, figurative language or a hope or a dream. But this is the reality of what things will be like when Christ returns and sets up God's kingdom on this earth. And who's going to rule this government? Who is this he that Isaiah 2 is talking about? Well, it talks about Jesus Christ. Isaiah 11 and verse 1 brings this out, and it goes through this in several scriptures here. Starting in Isaiah 11 and verse 1, it says, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Eternal shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Eternal, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Eternal. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears." So he's not going to rule like men rule, where they don't know the hearts of other men. And verse 4 says, "But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked." This is prophesying of Christ's rule after his second coming. He's going to rule righteously. He knows the hearts of men. He will know the right judgments to make in every case. Completely fair, completely based upon the law of God. So different than what we see on this earth today. And so this is talking about Christ. And if you'd like to, you could look up Acts 13, which gives more insight into this. The way it's stated here in Isaiah 11, where it says, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." David is the stem or son of Jesse. And the rod or shoot, plainly, Jesus Christ. The branch growing out of Jesse's roots also refers to Christ. And so again, you can look at Acts 13, verses 22 through 23 to see more about that and to get more context there of the way Christ is described in Isaiah 11. So when Christ returns and establishes God's government on this earth, there will finally be peace, the peace that man has been looking for 6,000 years, but has not been able to come to. Jeremiah 23 and verse 5 says, "Behold, the days come, says the Eternal, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth." That's something all people want. There's so many places on this earth today that do not have judgment, and they do not have justice, and things are unfair, and people are not treated correctly or fairly. But this will come to an end when Christ returns. You can also look up Luke 1, verse 30 through 33, and read the prophecy of Christ ruling the earth. So that's something that I think most people are fairly aware of, that Christ is going to return and set up a rule. But again, it doesn't seem like something people really think too much about. They don't take it literally, that this actual kingdom of God will come to this earth. But it is going to. And there are so many prophecies that we've looked at today that talk specifically about that time period. This plan, Christ returning to establish the kingdom and family of God, has everything to do with the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, when we return, we'll look more closely at Christ's gospel message. You're listening to Live by Every Word here on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG.
Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG is produced by the Philadelphia Church of God. The Philadelphia Church of God offers a library of free educational literature, including Mystery of the Ages by Herbert W. Armstrong. Mystery of the Ages serves as a synopsis of the Holy Bible. It addresses basic questions about the nature of God, the existence of spirit beings, the purpose of mankind, the history of civilization, the purpose of Israel, the purpose of the church, and the nature of the kingdom of God. More information is available at mysteryoftheages.com. This is Live by Every Word.
Welcome back to Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. What is the true gospel? What is the true gospel? There are so many gospels out there today. There's all kinds of different ideas about what Christ taught when he came to this earth. But what does the Bible say about it? You might be surprised. Let's start by looking at John 12 to see what the Bible says about the gospel of Jesus Christ. John 12 and verse 49 says, "For I have not spoken of myself," this is Christ. He said, "but the Father which has sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak." So when Christ came to this earth, he didn't have his own message or something he had come up with or his own thought on things. He was bringing very specifically a message from God the Father. God the Father sent his message through Jesus Christ. And Christ revealed the Father as well. So what was that message that God the Father sent? Matthew 9 gives us more insight into that. Matthew 9 and verse 35, it says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." So Christ preached the gospel of the kingdom. That's what he preached. What kind of a gospel was it? It was about the kingdom of God, as we heard about in the first half of the program. A very specific and literal kingdom coming to this earth. Mark 1 and verse 15 says this. This is again Christ. "And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent you and believe the gospel." So Christ was teaching the gospel, the message that his Father had sent with him, so that people could repent, they had to change from what they were doing, and begin to follow God's law and believe the gospel. It was to be believed. The word gospel means good news or glad tidings. Christ did not come with a bad message. He came with good news, glad tidings. And Jesus went about preaching the good news of the coming kingdom of God. That's the good news, that God's kingdom is coming. And it's going to be fair. And it's going to be just. And it's going to benefit all people. That's good news. Those are glad tidings. The gospel of Jesus Christ is simply the very same gospel he preached. It's what he taught. So there's no need to be confused about what the gospel of Christ is. He taught it when he was here on this earth, and it's recorded in the pages of your Bible. And Jesus' gospel is not, notice this, it's not primarily a message about himself personally or about receiving Jesus. It is not primarily a message about the events in his life and of his becoming the Savior of the world, although it most certainly does include all of that. So that's part of what we need to understand about Christ. But Christ did not come just talking about himself. He came preaching a message, good news of the soon coming kingdom and family of God. That's what the gospel message is. How much do you hear about that today? In very real and literal terms. How much do you hear about the coming kingdom of God actually coming to this earth and ruling it in power and in strength with Christ at the head of it? Of course, underneath God the Father ultimately. You don't hear a lot about that, except here on Trumpet Radio and through the Philadelphia Church of God. The message Jesus preached is the good news that God will restore peace on earth by establishing his divine kingdom over all nations. Christ, through the power of God, will at his second coming seize control of all human governments and rule by God's law. Jesus' gospel also includes how we may receive the gift of eternal life and become a part of that eternal ruling kingdom. That's good news, isn't it? Those are glad tidings. But now notice that Christ sent his apostles and true ministers out to preach that exact same gospel, and that includes all of his teachings. And Christ did keep the Ten Commandments. He even expanded them to understand the spiritual side of them, the spiritual intent of the law. Matthew 28, verse 19, it says, "Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." So he ordained ministers, apostles, to go out and to teach this message of the gospel, because he was going to be crucified, of course, and then resurrected, and do his work at that point through his ministry and through his apostles and those that were supporting them. And they were to go and to teach all nations. Teach them what? Just about who Christ was? Well, that's part of it. But the bigger issue is about the message that he brought. They had to teach the same message, the gospel message, the good news of the soon coming kingdom and family of God. And also, as it says there in verse 20 of Matthew 18, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Christ kept the Sabbath day. Christ kept the holy days of God. And if those things are sort of unfamiliar to you, you can get some great books at thetrumpet.com that will explain all of that to you. And of course, the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. You can see from God's Word what days should be kept, what they picture, and what the purpose is for those. But again, that's what was to be taught. How much do you hear about that today? It's worth asking the question. Acts 8 and verse 12 says, "But when they believed Philip," Now, this is later, after Christ had already died and then been resurrected. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So here you can see that those that Christ was working through were doing what he had said. He was preaching. What was Philip preaching? The things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Christ. So they had to understand who Christ was and is and how he fits into this plan of God, which is vital to understand, but also the kingdom of God, which Christ is going to rule over underneath God the Father. So why should there be so much confusion about Christ's true gospel today? I mean, if Christ taught it, and then if his apostles and other ministers went out and taught it, then why should it be confusing today? Why should there be so many different ideas about what the gospel is? Well, because there's false gospels, and there are false teachers, and there are false ministers out there today. And you can see more about that if you look in Galatians 1 and verse 6. And we have the Apostle Paul writing here. He was dealing with this. He says, I marvel that you are so, talking to the brethren, the members of God's church. He said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. There's only one. But he says, look, it's not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Would somebody do that? Would somebody pervert the gospel of Christ and teach a wrong gospel? Well, they did in Paul's day. Verse 8 says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Very serious condemnation there. If somebody comes, it doesn't matter who they are. If they come and they preach a different gospel than the kingdom of God, the same gospel that Christ preached, the same gospel that his true ministry preached and still preaches, let them be accursed, Paul said. And then in verse 9 he said, and we said, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. That's a double curse. Very serious to not preach the true gospel. Very serious to be a false minister. Serious consequences. It has to be the right gospel, the same gospel Christ preached, which is the gospel of the kingdom of God. Your Bible shows that there is only one true gospel, just one. And we hear about a lot of gospels today about the person of Christ or something related to that. But how many do you hear preaching the gospel of Christ, the gospel he preached, which is the gospel of the kingdom of God? Think about that. Make sure that you're receiving the correct teaching on the gospel of the kingdom of God. After all, that is the good news. That is the hope, the only hope that we have, that Christ will return and bring with him the kingdom of God. And that is the gospel that he brought, that good news of that soon coming kingdom and family of God. If you want to learn more about that, again, make sure you look at thetrumpet.com. There's some really good write-ups there, including Mystery of the Ages and The Incredible Human Potential, written by Mr. Armstrong, that will give you more understanding on this topic. And of course, please enroll in this free Bible correspondence course, the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. Thanks for joining me today on Live by Every Word. And until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.